Well, do we not serve a great God?
Amen.
One of the things you got to put up with as a preacher.
Turn
my mic off? No, I want it on. It is my favorite song. Isn't it an awesome song?
Amen.
Describes God to the fullest. And I kind of get carried away when that song is being sung. I want to sing it too. And my wife says, shh. I want to hear David sing. We're going to be in the book of John this morning, fulfilling man's desires. Do you remember last week, those of you that were here, I asked the question that if you die today, do you know where you will spend eternity? Well, let me tell you what happened last Monday. For those of you who don't know, I'm cycling long distance. I love to ride a bicycle, some crazy amount of mileage. I do this for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. It's one of the things I love to do. So Monday, this past Monday, after I just said this Sunday, I'm riding down 783, doing a 32-mile loop. No big deal. It's going to be okay. It's early in the morning, not too hot yet. And I just feel something following me. You ever get that feeling? And I look up over my right shoulder, and I see a buzzard in the air. And my sermon came back to me very seriously. But truth be told, do you really know? And we partook of a believer's baptism this morning. Full immersion is what we say in the Greek. Fully immersed, baptizo. Nothing dry. You got wet, babe? Mm-hmm. Maddie's pretty hair got wet. That's good. That's good. But that's what we want to do. But today we're going to be looking at what Jesus did on the side of a mountain. He fed thousands of people with a little bitty boy's lunch kit. So if you would stand, please honor the word of God. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. The 5,000 are fed. And after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes, seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. And therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." And so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Father, thank you for these wonderful words. May they apply to us today and touch our hearts as never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you. So what is going on here? Well, here's a little bit of background. The word signs, as those of you have been following along, this is the fourth series of 7. is used to emphasize the value and the significance of a mighty work. And these miracles show us the power and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was revealing God through himself. And a miracle underscores power and is generally received with awe. But be cautioned. Does not the word tell us in 2 Thessalonians that even those who are of the devil can perform miracles too? In fact, the Antichrist, who's either he's here or he's coming, will be one of those as well. So a sign is revelatory. It reveals something and disclosing something that is from God and something that was hidden before. The signs are not merely acts of power and might. They unveil that God is at work and Jesus is indeed present in him. Is God at work here? Amen. And we're going to let him do his work. We're going to remove ourselves and let him do. So thus John remarks that through Jesus, he reveals God's glory. We have seen the signs revealed in the past 3 weeks. Here we go. That Jesus is the answer for man's greatest need. Have you noticed that there's somewhat of a progression happening if you've been with me? It's what's called a theme of faith. And they get actually the signs and the miracles get harder and harder. Or more awesomeness, I guess we could say. Is that a word? I don't know if that worked out. I'm going to get slammed by my English teachers and you. I made that one up. It's a good one, though. I know. You know what I'm talking about. He turned the water into wine, and we see that this is the answer to man's disappointments. In healing the nobleman's son, we learn the cure for man's doubt. In healing the invalid, we learn that Jesus could defeat any disability. It's been pretty good so far, I believe. Well, today we're going to see how this fulfills man's desires. Today, the feeding of the 5,000, we're going to see this. In the chapter, this is Jesus returning to Galilee. He's been in Jerusalem. He's going back to Galilee. We see that he is revealing himself through the first part of chapter 6. And the second part, he's actually Christ. His claims are being presented to the Jews. He reveals that he alone can satisfy the most basic needs of mankind. You know, when we looked at the turning the water into wine, was it about the wine? No. How insignificant can a wedding in Cana be when they run out of wine? But yet, he concerns himself with those things that we think are so insignificant in our lives. He is right there blessing us. I thought that was pretty cool. So here we go today. He reveals that he was the only one. Here's what I want us to capture in this story. This food that he's about to make happen out of the little boy's lunch is symbolic of our basic spiritual needs. When we do a proper expository sermon, okay, that's a big word. When we take the text and apply the context as a preacher and a teacher and a theologian, and we take that context and look for the theological principle that we can extract from there and apply to life today. That is how we can determine that the food is a representation of our spiritual life. I'll get there. I'll show you what I'm talking about. It's there. It is there. Oh, my goodness. So here we are. But here's the problem. We are a generation that is never satisfied. I'm going to look in the mirror. Don't worry. I'm going to look in the mirror. If I point a finger, how many I got coming back? Three. Four if you point my thumb. The first thing we're going to see is the people were hungry. The hungry people. Ladies and gentlemen, people are hungry for the word of God today. Even though they may not admit it, they will stop and listen. The people had preceded him, so they were seeking him. They sought Jesus in chapter 2, and they had come from the other side of the lake. They were flocking to see Jesus and to see. They wanted to see his hand, though, not his face. They didn't want to see his face. They wanted to see what miracle is he going to do today. They wanted to see his hand, not his face. Ladies and gentlemen, we as a people of God need to seek the face of God. It's my prayer all the time that as the Lord is bringing growth here and we're paddling as fast as we can, and my goodness, thank you, Lord Jesus. If you got it figured out, show me something. But we need to seek the face of God. They needed to seek the face of God, but they were looking something else. They followed Jesus because of what he could do for them, not what they could do for him. Here's the deal. When we come to church, are you coming to church for what we can get out of it or what we bring into it? There's two ways. If you're lost, if there's no hope, if you're struggling, then by all means, come and get something. But when we leave here, we need to go because of what he did and leave the church. What can we do for him? What can we do for Jesus? That's what that's about. See, they did not realize. They were seeking him. They sought him. That he had the means to fill their deepest needs. That he missed it. But they also, in verse 5, we see that the people stirred him. You know, we see in this verse the Lord's compassion. The Lord Jesus was so compassionate. He was, he is, and he always be compassionate towards people. Matthew 9:36 reads this: seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. This happens today. And if I promise you, we're going to stay grounded in here. Because if it's Brother Marvin speaking about Brother Marvin stuff, y'all not going to get what y'all need. You read this and we preach this, you're going to get what you need. We're going to fulfill man's desires. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, Jesus is concerned about lost people. Those that do not have that personal saving relationship with him. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he went to the cross. He was very specific. He is concerned about everyone. For those that are struggling with just life issues today, we're going to walk out of here knowing how those desires and those issues can be met. But they had stirred Jesus up. There was a dilemma taking place. The next thing we see, though, is that the disciples were helpless. See, the people are hungry.
Yeah.
Today, even. We're hungry for something. But the disciples, look in verse 7 and 9. Man, what are we going to do with all these people? We ain't got no food. This was an enormous crowd. There were 5,000 men. If you take into account the women and the children were there, some said there were over 10,000 people there. And all I got to say is call up a Southern Baptist disaster relief kitchen unit. You'd be fine, right? We can do that like that. No, that's not. They weren't there yet. We're getting there. Listen, this was a serious number. And fulfilling the needs and feeding the needs of this enormous crowd because they had gathered from far. Man, what are we going to do? The disciples were helpless. It was beyond their reasoning. I can understand that. It can be overwhelming. They could not even begin to imagine how to feed these people. He said, their answer was send them away. And Jesus, oh no. Mm-mm. They had forgotten there was a command in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. I tell you what, that's a good one to go to. If you want to go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, this is a wonderful scripture. For everyone who is struggling with something in life today, I see the heads nodding. They know the scripture. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know why we're not getting any answers? Because we're not asking the question. We're not calling on the name of the Lord. Call to me, and I will answer you. That's a promise. It's not a fictitious imagination thing. This is a promise from God. He says, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's your encouragement for the whole week. Write that one down. I can stop now. Want to sing a song? No. David said, yeah. That's all you need to know to get by this week. But there's more to come. We must remember that God works in our lives when we cannot. The scope of the problem, they were helpless. And the smallness of the provision. Let's see. What is it, little boys? Verse 9. Let me go to verse 9. Let's see. What are you going to do with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? Now, the barley loaves was kind of like the poor man's food. Very poor people, that's what they ate. It wasn't very nutritious. It didn't have much nutritional value. The fish, think of 2 fish the size of sardines, dried. Ooh, like anchovies. I'm not an anchovy fan, but they were used to that. That's what they ate. So you got two little bitty fish and 5 little pieces of bread, and here we are, the smallness. That was barely enough for the little boy. It's not enough for Jace. I promise you. But the work demanded more than the disciples could ever supply. Do you feel like life has got you overwhelmed sometimes? Think about the smallness of the provision here. Think about it. When life is overwhelming. See, what they needed, they were helpless. They had hungry people. But here's what they needed. They needed a heavenly solution. Huh? This solution is heavenly. It's just, here we go. Come on, Jody. We see the simplicity of the solution in verses 10 through 14. Let me break it down for you. See, Jesus commanded the people to what? Sit down. Now, this implies we're about to eat. That's what this implies. We're about to eat something here. And that's interesting. He says it was a grassy area. He says, have the people sit down. They're about to eat. So sitting down at the Lord's command was actually an act of faith. We're about to eat. There ain't no food here. Smallness of the provision, 5 little pieces of bread, 2 little bitty fish. Good night. What's the Lord about to do? See, it required the faith of the boy to give all that he had to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but y'all might go hungry if that's all I got. But it required faith on the little boy to give up his lunchbox. It required faith of the disciples to follow the Lord's instruction. They were like, we're helpless. What is he going to do? What is Jesus going to do now? They needed faith to do what he told them to do. And it required the faith of the people to sit down and to wait for Jesus to feed them. Put yourself in their shoes. It's been a long day, long trip. They're on the side of the mountain. He told them to sit down. You're getting ready to eat. And there's no chuck wagon around. Nothing. And everybody, the word's getting out. They got a little boy's lunch. 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish. The entire miracle right here is based on faith. And the same is true today. You see, we cannot know or we cannot even please the Lord without faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed is all it takes. Oh, ye of little faith. Man, that's even smaller than a mustard seed. But that's all we need. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible. I love this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. I hope you got faith. Because it says, without faith, it is impossible. Thank you. To please him. And for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith. It took a lot of faith for all of this that's happening on the side of that grassy mountain. So that's the simplicity of the solution. There's a heavenly solution. That's very simple, but here's the source of it. Verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and he given thanks. He distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. You see, given thanks, who's the source? If he gave thanks, who did he give thanks to? God. God is the source. The Father is the source. Everything Jesus did in his life, everything Jesus did in his ministry, he gave thanks to God. He prayed to God. He prayed to the Father. He looked up. He was always, always, always looking up to God. Amen. Oh, ye of little faith, if only I could do that, I could probably walk on water too, but I'm too chicken. I can't swim as good as I used to. Oh, ye of little faith. Faith, this kind of faith. The source of the supply is God. Psalm 103. This is another good one. I'm going to take a minute to turn here. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I want us to hear these words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle? Ladies and gentlemen, that's praise. It's praise and worship. Giving thanks to the Lord in the most difficult of times. The psalmist tells us five things here. Wait a moment, six. This is a six-week sermon series, by the way. He tells us six things. The first thing in verse 3, that God forgives. You do know that, right? The psalmist tells us that God forgives. In verse 3, he also heals. He forgives, he heals. Verse 4, he redeems. He bought and paid for. He satisfies. I like that one. And he renews. See, God through Jesus supplies all that we will ever need in this life. The source. We also see the sufficiency of the supply. Notice they had all they wanted. They had all they wanted. It's right here. They had as much as they wanted. Now we're talking about not material things here, but what are we talking about? What is this talking about? Your spiritual needs. You can have as much as you want. What do you have to do? Ask for it. If we're not asking for it, God's going to say, well, it must be good. They're on their own. They're not asking for anything. I'm going to leave them alone. When our children need some, what do? They ask for it. It don't stop when they're on their own either. That's okay. What do we do? We give it if we can. And let me tell you about this. God will give it if you ask for it. He will fill you up. Jesus never leaves us wanting for those things that we need in life. You never will. Nothing was wasted, if you notice. Nothing was lost. Here's what I want you to catch. In verse 12, what did they gather up? Fragments. So they had all they wanted, and there were some leftovers. Some fragments. This is Jesus gathering up fragments from our broken lives and making something useful out of them. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Those fragments are pieces of our lives that are broken. He takes them, he gathers them up, and he puts them to good use. All you got to do is ask for spiritual help. Now, this is not saying material things. Mm-mm. So the sign that we see in verse 14, very, very significant. The people proclaim that this is truly the prophet who is coming to the world. He is the one. Jesus is revealed to a very needy people. They were hungry. The disciples were helpless. There was a heavenly solution. Jesus is revealed to a needy people, and only those who see their need for a Savior will know how this applies. If you don't know this or don't want to know this, that's another story, another conversation. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way. We must understand our poverty without Jesus. We are lost without God. We are lost without God, and we must repent of our sin and place our faith in Christ alone. See, our deepest need is met. The provision is Jesus. So what, Pastor? So what, fulfilling man's desires? There's an old hymn out there. It says this in one of the stanzas, Jesus satisfies and fulfills all of man's desires. I can show it to you. It's not one we sing very often, but it's just one that popped out. Jesus satisfies and fulfills all of man's desires. So my question becomes, is my master satisfied with me? You know, I look in the mirror a lot. A lot more white, a lot less hair. Yeah, some of you, yeah, I know what that's about. But what I see when I look up, I see a creation of God. And I look at everyone here today. You know what I see? A creation of God. You weren't here by accident. Wasn't your choice, was it? It's not an accident. I don't believe in that. I believe this is an appointed time today that you are here for a purpose. Thank you for all of those who came out to support my daughter and my granddaughter in being baptized. There's a feeling like three or four rows right here. We're open every Sunday, too. That's good. You'll have churches. Okay, if you don't have a church, we need to talk. Okay. Always proselyting. The point being, our spiritual needs can be minimal one day and overwhelming the next. In one phone call or in 1 minute, things can go from, it's not a bad day, to, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through the rest of the day? Well, He can take those desires through a spiritual way, through a little boy's lunch kit, little lunch box, and fulfill all the needs of those people that were on the side of that mountain. So what is He going to do for you? And can we justify and say, am I doing enough for you, Jesus? Do I have that gratitude, that gratuitous heart? I think that's another word I can get away with. That says, okay, fill me up. And let me go out and to tell someone that Jesus loves them. I stand before you a man, proud to say, I love Jesus. Anybody got a problem with that? We can take it outside. No, I'm just kidding. No. Don't say that, she said. Listen, I'm serious. Jesus is not popular in our culture. He is not popular in our society. And if you continue reading everything that you read and seeing what's going on, it's getting worse. But what did the Bible say? I was reading in 2 Thessalonians this morning, and it says He's going to get worse, and He's actually going to harden the hearts of those to show His glory. That blows me away. I am so blessed to have a church family like this who loves the Lord and are calling people to tell them, come see Jesus, He's here. Blessed to have a family that is coming to faith in Christ and being public with it. That's what it's about, just being public with it. This is serious. This is real. So if you don't know Jesus, If you've not made that connection, if you've not made that thing we call a public profession at all, today's a good day to do that. I go back to the question I asked last week and today. Do you know where you will spend eternity if you do not make it home today? It's a valid question. It's what I do. See, I know what the Bible tells me. I believe it 100%, my whole heart, that with Jesus, He saves. Only Jesus saves. You can work for it all you want. The Bible says, saved by faith, not by works, so that no one may boast. If you're looking for a home church, there's more pews that are empty. It kills me to see empty pews, but I will say this, there's a lot less empty space now than there was just a few months ago. God is at work here. Continue doing what you're doing and praying and asking and seeking. So this is a home church for if you want to come. Follow Jesus. He's in control. And love our people right where they are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for showing up today. Manifesting your presence in song and in word, Lord. Thank you for taking something as simple as a little boy's lunchbox and feeding all of those people. And the same applies to us in our spiritual condition, no matter where we are, Lord. You are there to fill those needs and our desires. Lord, if there's someone here today that has never proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may this be the day that they come to know that, to profess that, and to express it. And Lord, if there are just others that are just wanting to join arms, lock arms with a church, a body of believers who are all about you through your Son Jesus, want to love people right where they are and to tell them that Jesus died for them. May they walk down this aisle here today as well. If there are others, Lord, just wanting to be filled up with the spiritual needs that you that we have sometimes, Lord, the altar's open. Fill us up, Father. Fill our desires up to where they are overflowing, that we will have to get rid of them and give them to someone else and tell others about Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the cross and the shed blood, the perfect sacrifice of your Son. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.